You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast with host Fifi Peters.
If you're a landlord, you may want to listen in on this conversation. There has been some changes coming into the Rental House Act that will give your tenants greater rights and protection. But to unpack what these are, we do have Grant Smee, the CEO of Only Reality Group. Grant, thanks so much for your time. So exactly what is changing with this Rental Housing Act?
Evening, thanks for having me. I think the biggest thing is that there's further clarity in terms of the existing act on sort of provisions on between or dictating the relationship between landlord and tenant, and it's just providing clarity on some things that are included. But one of the biggest changes is that you aren't allowed to have verbal agreements or verbal lease agreements anymore. Everything must be reduced to writing.
Yeah, just in your view, being in the space, what was wrong with the old act that prompted some of these changes that we'll get into a lot more?
Yeah, so I think, obviously a landlord-tenant relationship can become quite a complex one. You know, it's simple at the outset, but when issues start arising, it becomes far more complex, and then people revert back to look at the written lease agreements or the Rental Housing Act, and that just showed that there were some real grey areas in the existing act. So it just was just required further clarification in relation to access to property, the tenant's right to privacy, and reducing their lease agreement in writing, and how the deposit is handled. So just further clarified and made it really clear how the responsibilities of both landlord and tenant need to be dealt with through the process.
To say that it would be a criminal offence for landlords not to have an official written agreement, it does sound pretty harsh, but in the same breath, I'm wondering how many people were actually renting out their properties or their houses just with a verbal agreement and with nothing written on paper. I mean, was this a common occurrence?
Yeah, so probably more common than we want to admit, and the problem was people were accepting rentals, trying to keep it off the books, so that they only declare things to solve. That then caused relationships to be really dictated between landlord and tenant in terms of the verbal contract, and it created a lot of issues. But also the fact that the Act now will create it to be a criminal offence is obviously an issue, but it still needs to go to court and need to see what would be a reasonable punishment for non-compliance.
Are you in the know of what the guidelines of what a reasonable punishment could be? I mean, are we looking at a penalty, a fine in this case? Are we looking at landing behind bars? What do you know? What can you share with us at this stage?
So there's no precedent that's been set. I mean, the act still needs to be sort of come into effect. So, we need to wait and see. But I think, like anything, it'll be for repeat offenders, people who continue to breach the law, that be found to not be complying. And consistent offenders might find themselves receiving initially severe fines, but then secondly imprisonment if there's continued non-compliance. So I don't think it's a once-off. The first time that you breach it, you're going to have an issue and end up behind bars.
And then, I mean, we've been talking a lot about how this amendment to the Housing Act will potentially benefit the tenant. But what changes to the Act are to the benefit of the landlords themselves?
To be quite honest, I think all the changes are benefit to landlord and tenant in terms of just clarifying their responsibilities. You know, a lot of landlords go in without knowing fully what their rights or responsibilities are, but how they have to act and how they have to deal with certain matters. So I think by providing further clarity and getting rid of sort of more grey areas, landlords become very aware and also their professional agents become very aware of what they need to do and what they cannot do. And then tenants also are put in position to understand what they can and cannot do. So I think it actually equally benefits landlord and tenants in this instance.
It's a win-win. But I see there's also some guidelines about how you treat tenants who might not be meeting their rent in this time. I mean, we have seen it become quite a common occurrence. People have had their pay, their salaries cut. Some people have lost their jobs and haven't had a plan B in terms of the roof over their head. Help us understand exactly how that situation needs to be handled and whether landlords can kick non-paying tenants out. And in the event that they can, what needs to be in place first?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, non-payment of rental is a breach of the agreement, and that is, that has to be dealt with in terms of a procedure. The procedure is that the tenant gets given a breach notice and gets an opportunity to rectify that breach. If they then don't rectify the breach, the landlord then needs to go to court and get a court order to then go through the eviction process and have the tenant evicted. And a person can only be evicted from their residence through court order. There's no other way, no other option, or no other way or legal option for a landlord. They must go through a court process and get a court order to evict somebody, other than by mutual agreement with the tenant for them to move out. So that, again, has been further clarified in the Act. I know a lot of landlords, and I suppose cowboy landlords, will shut off electricity, try and change locks and all those sort of things. That's a spoliation. And previously, tenants would go to court and get a spoliation order and get everything reversed. Now what the new Act does is make that a criminal offence as well. So you can, if you change locks, if you move other tenants into the property to try and get a tenant out, you not only will have a spoliation order against, but you could end up with a criminal record.
Which was actually going to bring me to my next question, because in the event that, you know, you're trying to avoid the courts and you resort in coercing or pushing your tenant out by cutting off their electricity and their water, what happens then? But you've answered. You say that that's also a criminal offence.
It is. It is.
Well, thanks so much for filling us in on those changes. I do hope that landlords were listening as well as tenants, given that this new Rental Housing Act. Grant, quick one, when does it come into effect?
So we're still waiting for it to be gazetted. So, you know, hopefully soon. It's been in process for the last 7 years. So it's waiting for it to be gazetted, but soon. And the indication is in the next couple of months.
All right. Okay. Next couple of months, that's when the game changes. Grant Smee, thanks so much for your time. He is the CEO of Only Reality. And it's a wrap for the SAFM Market Update. Thank you so much, as always, for listening in from myself and the team, Mr. Ed and Ms. Caldora, who has produced a beautiful show for you to listen to, I hope. It is goodbye, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.